We'd like to welcome our radio audience to Sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. We will be celebrating Halloween again this year with our trunk and treat on October 31st from 6 to 8 p.m. Adults, please join us in the parking lot with your trunks decorated, ready to hand out candy. Kids, come and scare us with your costumes. We enjoy a good scare every now and then. Our birthdays this week is Alana Smallwood, and an anniversary is Tyler and Amy Nicholson. Our flowers this morning are from Steve and Vicki Otto in honor of loved ones, and the radio is sponsored by the Smallwoods in honor of Alana's birthday. Our scripture this morning is from Joel 2, 23 through 32. Be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains of righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts, the other locusts and the locust swarm of my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed, when you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire, billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance. For the Lord has said, among the survivors who the Lord calls. Our sermon this morning is Outpouring of God's Spirit by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Amen. There is so much in that passage. It's one of the lectionary passages for today, and I go through when it's time to get the newsletter done, usually not more than a day or two before it's due, and I start looking through the lectionary passages and picking one. And it's difficult for me to do this because I usually don't title a message until I'm about three quarters of the way done writing it, because you never know how it's going to shape out. But this one here is all about the outpouring of God's mighty spirit upon all of creation. Men and women, young and old, free and slaves. The outpouring of God's mighty spirit, it is an eschatological, an end times vision. It tells us that we will know absolutely for sure that the day of the Lord is coming when we begin to see these signs and wonders on the earth, in the heavens, and when we all begin to experience having dreams and visions that are of God. In the meantime, as we move towards that time, we have more and more false teachings, false prophets, erroneous religions, and spirituality of every kind. And this time of year is one of the most dangerous times of the year. There's foolish little children's games like saying Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary in the mirror, or now, from what the commercials are showing me on TV, you say Candyman, and the Candyman appears. That movie terrified my youngest daughter. My oldest played it for her, and that child cried for a month. But some of the stuff that happens around this time of year is nothing to play around with. There is true demonic evil power that surfaces this time of year, and it will happen more and more as we grow closer to the coming of the Lord. We will have teachers who want to tickle our ears with false prophecies. We will have people telling us that God is all love and that there is no hell, that we are going to heaven and that everything is good. Well, there is a hell. The Bible talks more about hell, spiritual warfare, and true evil than it does of anything else. Our God is love. But he is also justice and mercy. And he does not send us to hell. The reason we are waiting so long for Jesus to return is our good and gracious God wants nothing more than everyone on the planet to have the word of God witness to them so that they can make the choice for themselves for salvation, to follow Jesus Christ. Be thou my vision. That is one of my all-time favorite hymns. And somebody gave me this neat little book that's got the history of all the hymns in it. So lately when I'm picking out hymns, I get to read through all of it and it feeds me. This hymn was a poem written in the 8th century. This prayer poem holds ancient vision that could be well used today. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. To have our Lord be our vision, what our eyes and our heart is focused upon, may be a difficult prayer to maintain, but oh, the reward of that type of communion is so great. When the busyness of this world comes at us, when all of the crazy, made-up spirituality and religion comes at us, if we have our eyes and our hearts focused upon our Lord Jesus Christ, he is going to protect us. When we remember every morning to get up and put on our armor. My therapist told me that I should put it in my underwear drawer because I had it hanging on my mirror. And I got to the point, do you ever see something so often that you start ignoring it? It's right there and I've got it hanging on the door between the two offices. I began to ignore it and not see it. And she asked me that day when I came to visit her, have you put your armor on? And I said, no, and I have it hanging on my bathroom mirror. She said, switch it up. Put it in your underpants drawer. You've got to go in there every morning. If you've got it someplace new, you will remember to say it. When we have that helmet of salvation fastened upon us, that protects our thinking and keeps our eyes focused on our Lord Jesus Christ. The wonderful prayer poem, Be Thou My Vision. In 1905, a scholar in Dublin, Ireland, translated this ancient Irish poem to English, and another scholar took the translation and crafted it into verses with time and meter. Shortly thereafter, it was set to the traditional Irish folk song, Slane, for an area of Ireland where St. Patrick reportedly challenged the local druids with the gospel and manage to conform, quite a few of them, to Christianity. A druid is a priest or a spiritual practitioner, a soothsayer in ancient Celtic religion today. And yes, today, we still have druids. We still have paganism. We have Wicca. Wicca can be discussed in the schools as a bona fide religion, but we're not allowed to have a manger scene on the chalkboard in the school, for that might offend someone. Druidism, the modern day religion, which follows the path of ancient pagans. In both ancient and modern traditions, druids are nature focused, connecting the land with the magic it supposedly holds. Rituals, spell work, and rites of passage are involved in seeking harmony with oneself, the community, and the natural world. They celebrate the New Year on Samhain, the day that we refer to as Halloween. Just one of the many forms of religion or spirituality that believe in contacting the dead. The Bible strictly forbids the contacting of the dead. And it angers me, it makes my blood boil that there are charlatans out there, there are psychics out there that take advantage of people's grief. And they tell them, think of something. Tell me something that only your dead loved one would know. Well, the demons know that as well. So when the person comes up with something that supposedly only their dead loved one would know, the charlatan then has this grieving person in their clutches and can get thousands of dollars from them, communicating supposedly with their dead loved one. The bounty of God's love is reflected in the vision that is sketched by Joel and reiterated by Peter in Acts 2. Today's lectionary passage concludes with the outpouring of God's Spirit, but not before. God has given the autumn and the spring rains, and God has promise to compensate the people for all that the locusts have eaten. This passage is sometimes referred to as the oracle of salvation. God's heart has softened for repentant people, and the land itself is called to rejoice in verses 21 and 22. In verse 23, the prophet issues similar calls to the people to celebrate because God has given rain. The rain will bring the beloved harvest. In verses 24 and 25, it is revealed that the bad fortune described in the first part of the book of Joel will be compensated for. The Lord promises that there will be plenty of grain and plenty of wine and vats full of oil. The bounty of nature in verses 26 and 27 is related to the joy of our worshiping and the continuing promise of the presence of God among the people. When all of these things happen, the people can be assured that there is no other God other than Yahweh. The last verses, 28 through 32, proclaim the renewal of humankind through the gift of God's Spirit. I absolutely love this passage from Joel. And it was my son's favorite passage the whole time he was growing up. And it's repeated almost word for word in Acts 2. This passage is inclusive. Men and women, young and old, slave and free, nobody will be forgotten. God's mighty Spirit will be poured out on all, And the old will have dreams, and the young will have visions. This, again, is a promise of what will happen in the end times. Throughout the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord was known as that which gave life to people. It was the difference between a dead body and a living thing. In Ezekiel, the bones fashioned back together, sinew and tendons and ligaments, and then skin came upon them. But they were not living beings until the breath of the Lord was breathed into them and they became alive once again. It is the Lord's Spirit that grasps a hold of the prophets and gives them divine messages. The Spirit empowers and reveals. In this passage, when God pours forth His Spirit, prophecy, revelation, dreams, and visions result. Dreams and goals are necessary for all of us. Nothing can be manifested unless we first have a dream or a vision for what it is we want to see happen. And as a church, I challenge you to begin praying and asking God for dreams and visions of where this church will move in the future. Yes, things have slowed down a bit in this church from where they were 10, 20, 40 decades ago. Wait a minute. 40 years ago. Sorry about that. But I honestly believe the gift that we received from the city is God saying, I'm not done with you yet. I may move in different ways, but I am not done with you. And it is up to you to pray, to fast, and to see where it is that God wants to lead you. How do we know when our dreams are approved of God? How do we know when visions are of God and not of this world and not of Satan? The evil one likes to jump up and to pretend that he is an angel of light. Spirituality is big these days with the New Age movement. Even well-known celebrities talk about spiritual things. Do you know the name Sarah Michelle Gellar? How about the character she plays? Buffy the Vampire Slayer. In an interview with Scotland's Daily Record, she told them her personal spirituality borrows from a hodgepodge of religions. She said, I consider myself a spiritual person. I believe in an idea of God, although it is my own personal ideal. I find most religions rather interesting. I've been to every denomination there is, Catholic, Christian, Jewish, and Buddhist. And I take from each one of them what I like. Red flag, red flag. This is what Christianity is based upon, and we cannot pick and choose what we want to take out of it. In order for us to honor God, we take Him at His word. She says that she did her homework. She told Rolling Stone magazine that in 1999 she read through the entire Bible. And she told them, you know, there's been a couple of people on the show, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, that have become Christians. But the emphasis of the show is witchcraft. And it has been kept at the top of many Christians' must-flee list. It is definitely at the top of my must-flee list. Last Sunday, I sat outside the Unity service at Gary and Larry's church, talking to Tiffany's mom, and she started asking me questions about harvest festivals and Halloween, and was it okay to celebrate this, and what did I think of that, and what did I think of the movie Hocus Pocus? Right, wrong, or indifferent, we determined that the movie Hocus Pocus was purely for entertainment and therefore harmless. Then we got on to talking about Harry Potter. Well, I had to read the first Harry Potter book before I would let my 16-year-old daughter read it. And yes, there is magic in it, and there are some parents who strictly forbid anything with magic in it because it desensitizes our youth, and I totally understand that. I was okay with Heather reading it, for I luckily stumbled across an article which didn't come out to most of mainstream America until the last book. The author of Harry Potter meant Harry Potter to be a Christ-like figure, the same as Aslan is in C.S. Lewis's series Narnia. Now, there are a lot of things in it that I wish weren't shown, but I don't think that it is as harmful as Buffy the Vampire Slayer or Supernatural or some of them that truly depict rituals and witchcraft spells. Having been raised in a family that did participate in earth-based religions like Wicca, that participated in New Age and paranormal things like ESP testing, aura reading, third eye reading, levitation, and my stepfather dabbled in the dark arts, I pray when anything feels uncomfortable to my spirit, and I ask God, is it okay for me to watch this? Is it okay for me to listen to this? Now, there's some things that I have to watch or listen to be able to speak to. But I put on my armor and I trust God to walk with me through these things. My family participated in using the Ouija board, tarot cards, and all kinds of things. And I'm here to tell you that that stuff is real, but it's not of God. Some of these so-called psychics have honest power, but it is not of God. They tell you things of past or future that there is seemingly no way of them knowing, but the demons as well as the angels know. I learned more about different forms of religion teaching in Pendleton Prison than I did in seminary. Did you know that there is a Norse god? It comes from German history, a Norse god called Odin, which is the god of war and of magic. From thousands of years ago, there is all kinds of stuff that people dig up from biblical times, from times of Egypt, from the Viking times, and try to live out these so-called religions later on. And when they go challenging the prison board, if they have enough people, it then becomes a religion that makes room for it within the prisons. These inmates normally either worship on their own or they have volunteers, chaplains, and pastors that come into the prison and will hold religious services, some of them daily. I know in any prison, the three Abrahamic faiths are celebrated: Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. But if there are enough people in that prison that can pull up some old form of religion and argue for it, it then is one that is celebrated. In these days and times, buffet-style spirituality, where you pick a little of this and a little of that from what you like, is the number one form of religion in the USA. And sadly, the one true God, the one true religion, Christianity, is the one that most people will fuss about being talked about, whether it is a public prayer, whether it is something that is discussed in the school systems, Islam, Buddhist, Wicca even, is talked about in the schools as a form of religion, presented as a history fact. But Christianity cannot be discussed. We have, in this country, in America, we have a fierce, independent thinker society. We have that John Wayne, Clint Eastwood mentality. Don't tell me what to do. And if you think you're going to tell me what to do, just make my day, Pilgrim. When it comes to God, just because you are sincere in what you believe and in what you think doesn't mean you are right. Sometimes sincerity of what we think can get us into big trouble. God reserves for himself the way that he wants to be worshipped. And that's the whole idea of God. God is sovereign and God is in charge. Or he isn't God at all. We can't pick and choose what we want out of the Bible. What we want from society. What we want from pagan religions. And put it all together and call it a religion. If we are going to worship God, we are going to worship the one true God, and we are going to read the Bible in its entirety and hold to it. If we are going to grasp the obvious about what Joel said about living a life led by the Spirit of God, then what exactly is it that we are to grasp? What can be said about the Spirit-led life? Well, for sure, it is a life of visions and dreams because God still speaks to us that way. But it is a life born of faith, following our Lord Jesus Christ and trusting that he does indeed communicate with our heart and with our spirit, that he speaks to us through the still small voice, that he speaks to us through his word, that he speaks to us through our elders in the church, through those that are wise. In the Methodist tradition, the way we determine whether or not something is God's will is a big word called the quadrilateral. To me, the image of it is a three-legged stool. The solid seat of the stool is Scripture. God will not reveal anything to us that goes against Scripture. And then the three legs of the stool are reason and logic, because he gave us reason and logic. And there are some things that are just utterly ridiculous. Some of the things that are celebrated around this time of year are utterly ridiculous, and I wonder where people's brains are. But I also know the true damage that they can do. Next is the leg of tradition. And not just our tradition in our church, but the traditions going clear back to the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Council, the early church fathers and mothers. And then there is our own personal experience of how God has spoken to us before. Did he speak to us through dreams? Did he speak to us by bringing Scripture to mind? Did he speak to us by when we're praying, asking someone like Jennifer or Bob or Carolyn or Mary Ellen, somebody, would you pray for me and let me know what God is saying to you? We have an extraordinary life when we truly follow God. We have a life sustainable in and through some of the worst times that we can live through. His love boosts us up. His peace can calm us down through the worst pain, through the worst grief, and through the worst tragedies. We do have a lot that we need to be careful of. Some of these psychics have a real power. These last days will be filled with evil and with false teachings, and we must witness to the truth. We must stay in the Word of God so that we are not convinced of things that are evil. To be led by the Spirit of God is to bend our will to His will and to allow Him to be revealed through His holy word, to inform our human mind and spirit, to shape us into the image of Christ Jesus, obedient, yielded, and usable. I have known people who have said to anyone who would listen, if I only knew the will of God, I would do it. And you know, I've been one of those people who have said that in a desperate situation. God will reveal Himself to you when you seek Him with all of your heart. And in the meantime, until He reveals Himself to you about a specific situation, you continue to follow the last thing that He told you. You continue to follow His word. You continue to meet together with people of like-mindedness. We have to make a conscious decision. I know some people who have sought to find His will and refuse to yield themselves to being obedient, and they flounder about. Yet other people have made themselves obedient to His will. They've gotten busy. They've joined a local church. They have been the hands and feet of Christ, and they seek God through His word and become obedient unto us. God has given us plenty of vision. We are to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ and follow His example. We are to look towards the guidance of Scripture. As the age-old hymn says, be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. God still speaks to us today in many ways, but His primary way is through the Scripture. Do we have the music working yet, Mark? Or should we find a hymn?